dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. Your CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, SIPs, SIPs. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
All right, and welcome everyone to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 13, lucky number 13. 13, you know, we've passed a dozen episodes of Binary Revolution Radio. I can't even believe how quickly it's going by and how quickly it's... It just seems like we just started it yesterday, and here we are at 13. Not that that's a huge milestone or anything, but just hit me, I guess, that we've been around for a few months now. We're not exactly RFA at 80 episodes, but what we have done is the next best thing for episode 13. We brought you the co-host of Radio Freak America, none other than the Bland Inquisitor himself.
It took you 13 episodes to call me. Call the next day.
Well, we have to eventually break your BenRev cherry, so this is it.
Well, the bleeding has subsided.
Okay. This is episode 13, like I said, and we have made it through 13 episodes without talking about one of the biggest words that is used in association with hackers. And I figured it was about time we had a special on this topic. And I'm not even going to say it right now. I'm going to leave you hanging on that. We're going to jump into some housekeeping and answer a couple of emails. Does that sound good to you?
Sounds good, man.
All right. First email, and actually I'm going to kick this one over to you since you're on here tonight. I had an email from Shapeshifter who asks, where can he get a blue box? And he says, basically he wants one that's kind of decently made. He doesn't want just a crappy-looking hack job that's, you know, a circuit with wires hanging off of it, kind of ugly-looking thing. I guess he's basically wants to know if there's... obviously, there's not going to be a company that makes them or anything, but he wants something that, I guess, looks nice as well as functional. What do you think about that?
Man, honestly, the word that pops into my mind immediately is eBay.
eBay!
But you can't really... I mean, something like a blue box... Man, I don't know if you really want to buy that from a complete stranger government official.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might go out and make a friend. You know, if you've got an old freak in your neighborhood, or better yet, if you've got a college and you can make a friend in the engineering department, something like that, that they can really, really hook you up. Or they're not really difficult to build. You could make one with plans available. And you could really dress it up and make it look as pretty as you want. You know, you can find an old, you can find an old cheese box or whatever. Of course, that's a different box altogether. But you can find something to put it in, and you know, you can mask it off and paint it up, or you know, cut holes in the sides and put neon lights or whatever you want to do to it. I mean, if you build it, it's yours. You've got the satisfaction of saying, hey, you know, I took a piece of breadboard and you know, a fistful of wire and made a blue box. And then you can mod it however you want. I mean, that's really the best way to go.
Well, and I think it's more the experience of building it and making it. You know, that's really what makes it cool. It's certainly not the functionality. I mean, at the risk of pissing off every freak listening, I mean, why bother? It's a blue box. I mean...
Yeah, blowing trunk tones isn't a really, really big thing in 2003.
Exactly. I mean, it was cool in the day, and it's still kind of cool for its retro feel, but... I mean, I'm sure he understands that it's not really going to do much nowadays.
Right. It's actually a whole lot cooler if you get that couple of hours of soldering under your belt.
Yeah, it's probably a good starting project, I guess. So, yeah, the only... I don't know what else to say other than eBay. And again, you don't know who you're buying from, and you don't know if it's going to work when you get it or what it's going to look like necessarily. So, yeah, the best route to go, I think that's a good advice, is to build it yourself, and don't email and ask us for plans if you can't find that, you know. Anyway,
ftp.2600.com.
There you go. As a matter of fact, just order their t-shirt, and the plans are on the front.
Yeah, that's true.
I had a surprising number of mails in the past couple weeks. I guess surprising in that it's a topic that I've talked about before, but I guess we have a lot of new listeners who I guess just don't know or haven't been listening to the show consistently. I get a lot of people asking about the opening theme song. And I checked, because I could have sworn that I had a link on the site to download those tracks, but I guess it's another host-moving thing. I rewrote the pages, and I might have omitted the links, but I am definitely going to put the links back up after tonight's show airs and link you to Zerle.com, Zerle, because the track is called Dedication to the Hackers. It's from Zerle, again, Zerle.com, and the one I use for the opening theme is a chopped-down version. It's one that I cut down to, you know, to be a nice short intro. You can also listen to the episode 1, which I closed out the song with a remix of that. So the full version of the opening theme, you can get at his site. And again, I will try to put a link up after the show so that people can go check that out. And actually, he has some new tracks up I was just listening to before the show. I mean, my boy can flow, man. I'm telling you, he can drop it. He's got a new track called Watch Me that I'm already just in love with. And I'm going to close the show with it tonight with his permission. Great guy. And we're actually working with him, kind of collaborating, helping out for a surprise project. We'll leave it like that. We have a surprise project that we'll be announcing hopefully soon. And actually, I'm going to try to get him on the show as a special guest one time or more. But yeah, listen to the... Go check out Zerle.com. The end of the show, we're going to have a new track for you. If you like his work, let him know and go check him out. And I guess... Let's see. Yeah, I'm going to put a note to myself right now while we're recording to put link to Zerle on radio.benrev.com. Okay, got it.
And Stank?
Yes.
Ever get a chance to publicly thank you for using my Fight Club mix on, I think it was episode 2.
Oh, yeah, you don't have to thank me. You're the one, dude. I've said this on the show before about Logan, and I can't do anything artistic. I'm not an artistic person. I can't draw stick people without fucking them up. My stick people look retarded. My stick people actually don't even look... I mean, it's... forget about it. I can't draw, and I can't do music. I can read music, actually. Not that anybody cares. I don't know how we get into this rant. I can read music, and I took piano lessons when I was a kid, like 9, 10 years old for a few years, so I can actually read music and play, but I suck at it. I learned enough music and took enough lessons that I was a smart guy. One day it hit me, and I realized... I don't have it, man. I don't have that gift. I just don't have it. So it's like I can take all the lessons in the world. All I was doing was memorizing and going through the motions. I can memorize a song, and I went to recitals and played, you know, stuff that I learned. But after you see people that can sit down and just pick up an instrument and play it, you know, it just kind of takes away my drive to memorize when you know somebody else can sit down and outplay you because they have the gift. I don't have it. So anytime you guys, I mean, I've heard other stuff from you too, and it's just amazes me, everything. And, you know, let's jump into on this topic. We always kind of talk about what we've been hacking and what we've been playing with. Let's jump straight into you this week, because your music, which again, I have and I've been meaning and trying to put it up on the site. I opened the show or closed the show with it, excuse me, one time. Now we have a place, you have a place, that you can put your music, as well as Monkey Humping Robots, up for everyone to listen. So, why don't you talk about that?
Yes, blandinquisitor.com.
That's it. That's enough said. That's the end. Go check it out.
Yeah, the links are broken right now because, well, shit, life's busy.
Well, yeah, life happens.
Yeah, so, you know, as soon as I can spare a few moments, I'll put some stuff up. I've got a lot of songs that I've been wanting to write and things like that, and really wanted to lay them down, and I'll put them up on the page as soon as I can.
Very, very cool. And yes, it is up right now because we switched hosts. We have some freedom and some space to finally work on some extra projects like this. And we should also mention, we'll put it up as a link, of course, but we should also mention that's all one word.
Yeah.
BlandInquisitor.com, all one word.
I'm not going to make you stretch the pinky and hit the underscore.
Oh, man. See, that's just love, man. That's beautiful, man.
I'm hoping I can drive traffic by making people not have to hit that little, what I refer to it as the key to the right of zero.
Actually, I don't think you can use that in a URL, can you? I don't think you can have that in a name.
You
have to use the dash.
Yeah, you'd have to use a dash.
Yeah,
the dash, you know, God loves a dash, but it's just not an underscore, and I am all about the underscore.
Well, and I'm all about the score under, but that's a whole nother story.
Speaking of
installing software on the site, again, moving hosts, we got a lot more freedom. I got a lot of things I'm playing with right now. Oh, man, please don't record that dual parallel out of context. I got a lot of software that I'm playing with right now.
Oof.
And one of them is Gallery. I mentioned it in the forums that I was going to be working on it, and actually I'm not even going to put the link in the forums. Only those special listeners of BenRev Radio are going to know about this. You can go, it's up right now. It's pretty vanilla right now. It's a work in progress, but it is working and functional, and you can upload to it. You can go to gallery.benrev.com. Go check it out. You can upload some pictures. I got a few galleries created with some pictures that I uploaded. Feel free to throw some stuff in there. It's gonna be a good location because I like looking at, everybody comes in to post pictures in the forum or emails pictures, and I think they're cool as hell, but not enough people see them, and threads start to disappear in the forum. So it's kind of nice, it's kind of cool to have a place to upload them and have them in a central area. So we're gonna have the DDP Hackers Gallery where we can upload. Yeah, I mean, we can upload pictures of ourselves. You know, I upload pictures of my car sometimes. Nobody wants to see my funky-ass broken leg, but I'm going to put all of these things. We have a section for personal pictures if you want to throw silly stuff like that. Screenshots. I love looking at people's desktops and screenshots and wallpapers, stuff like that. So I got a few forums up there, and we're very open, free. If you got any ideas or requests, we'll put it up there as well. I want to keep it only to pictures. I don't want to put movies or text files or anything because actually, you and I are kind of working on another project for that. So,
nope, no prawn.
Yeah, no, yeah, no, yeah. That's just a dime a dozen. That's just, and please, and I'm going to single this. I'm going to send this to one person. Please, decoder, do not traumatize me any further with the picture of the weightlifting. I still can't sleep at night after that. Thank you very much for that. I will never go near a gym or a swimming pool for the rest of my life. Okay, I'm going to move on.
I'm going to make that my new avatar.
Oh, God, man, that's... Oh, ugh. I don't even want to take a dump anymore. I'm scared when I fart I might blow out my O-ring. Man, how do we degrade the show to this?
Man, I like to think it's a gift that I have.
Well, you know, it's a good thing we didn't record the conversation we had the other night, because that was pure comedy.
Yeah, that was...
Oh, man.
That'll get you kicked off Rant Radio, and that's saying a lot.
Dude, I was going to say, you know what? If we were to be the first people ever kicked off Rant Radio, dude, that would be pretty hardcore.
Yeah,
I'm just
it would.
Anyway, let's jump back into the hacking topic. We have fun here, but I do want to try to keep on topic. Another thing that I was working on this week was there's a new peer-to-peer tool, a file sharing program called Waste, W-A-S-T-E. And it's not just another file sharing knockoff. I thought it was very interesting because it's a privatized file sharing software. It means it's an invite only where you can create and work in groups of people that you invite and share keys with. You can go to waste.sourceforge.net to read about it, download it, try it out. Basically what it does is it uses public and private key encryption to transmit files back and forth. So when I say invite only, only people who have your key can get in and access this peer-to-peer network. So it's very much invite-only, only for people. We can make a DDP hub, for example. Or, well, you know, should we? Is this something that interests people? We set up a key for DDP members, DDP forum members to go in, and the only way in is if you have that key, so we would pretty much have pretty good control over keeping anybody out. No RIA, R-I-A-A, they're not coming in without the key, they're not going to know what's going on. You know, that's what encryption's for. Encryption is just such a great, great thing, and I think this might be a great use, a great way for us to share copies of Binary Revolution Radio and Radio Freak America. We have Hack TV and some video files. We've been talking about how are we going to share them and distribute them and stuff like that. This would be a great use for stuff like that, as well as other things. But I don't, you know, I'm not, I understand encryption, I know how it works and everything, but I've never done an experiment on encrypting large files for transit. I'm wondering, does it encrypt, I guess I don't know if it encrypts each packet, if it encrypts the whole file and then sends it, or exactly the technical specs. I'm reading on it right now, but I don't know how much it costs as far as overhead. If we were to send out a 600 meg file of Hack TV, for example, does the encryption cause the file to actually increase in size? Does it turn a 600 meg file into a 7 or 800 meg file?
I would think it would.
It seems like logically it would, but at the same time, encryption, some of the later encryption algorithms actually have compression algorithms built into them too. So I don't think MPEGs or certain types of files anyway can't really be encrypted much more. So it's interesting. That's something that if we get this up and running, we'll try it and see. Trial and error kind of experiment, and maybe it's in, you know, on the documentation, but like I said, I just installed it, ran it to see how it worked, got a feel for it, so I'll be looking at that over the next week. So anybody that's interested in that can email me, or actually probably be better if we start a thread in the forums about that. So if anybody's interested, go check out the forums, currently at stankdog.com. eventually those will be moving too, and we'll take it from there, I guess. Take it based on interest. Now, if it's all right with you, I don't know if you had any other topics you wanted to bring up, but I think we should probably move into the main topic of this episode.
Yeah, I know how you really like to get into the meat, so...
Well, you know, who doesn't like to get up in that... Well, never mind. See? There you go, pulling me down. Why you got to be taking us there?
It's a gift. I hang out with that guy that likes to play with phones too much.
Yeah, well... Not only phones, but then once again, we'll back off of that one. This is going to be... I mentioned earlier at the top of the show that whenever anybody talks about hackers, there's a word that they always associate with hackers, and I'm not even going to pass judgment on whether it's good, bad, right, or wrong, but in the same breath with hackers, you always hear the word virus. So, after 13 episodes, I thought it might be time if we had the virus episode. We need like some ominous music. Dun dun dun. Oh wait a minute, that might have been the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire music. It's not quite so ominous, is it? Bow chicka bow bow. Oh man, we haven't done that on RFA in a while. I have to come back over there for a couple episodes. Now viruses. Again, I'm not going to turn this into a virus rant. I think the people in the forums and the regular listeners know my feelings on it. But I will say this. I do find the topic interesting. I find it technically interesting from a programming standpoint. I find it interesting to read about and hear about and see and hear how they work. I guess probably the biggest concern of mine is intent. And I don't know that everybody's intent is the same. But anyway, along the lines of viruses and how they work, they're really very much in the news lately. I mean, you know, you got the blaster, you got what was that? So Big. So many viruses lately that it's all everybody's talking about.
You know, I haven't seen any of the. Oh wait, I run Linux. Never mind.
Oh well, that does help just a tad, doesn't it? There actually are a couple viruses for Linux, but it's kind of ironic that they say that hackers write all these yet hackers also are what created and maintain Linux, and there are no viruses on Linux, but I won't go there.
Let's leave it at that.
Don't shit where you eat.
Exactly.
There's another country term, whatever you guys want to label me on that one. I swear I have like this kind of statement every week that people put in their signature files.
Well, if anyone wants the complete book of stankism,
it would be a funny. You know what I should do? I should make one of those random 404 error messages. Anytime you get a 404 on my site, I'll bring up one of my random stupid quotes.
Can't put the ass back in the wrestler.
Oh no! Don't don't go there. Oh, I'm gonna be ill.
Yeah.
especially talking about viruses.
Well, the big book of stankisms actually is on sale at your local Cracker Barrel gift shop. Right next to the drill press golf tee jump genius game that Duel hates so much.
And if you order some buttermilk biscuits, you get a half price discount.
Absolutely.
Biscuits. Anyway, let's get back to viruses. I read this article on one of my trade magazines, and then I saw another similar article in a different magazine, and I've seen them online lately. Everybody is worried, everybody is sick to death, that there is going to be some Uber virus in our near future, an absolute ass-kicking, ball-stomping virus that's just... Because of all these little viruses that have been coming around lately, people think that each one of these individual viruses are nothing but a proof of concept of whether that particular virus will work. So, you know, you have, like, for example, NIMDA. NIMDA proved that you could write a virus that would take care of, or that would activate, or take advantage of, I should say, multiple vulnerabilities. It's not just a one-trick pony. It can go in and it can do a couple different things using a couple different vulnerabilities. The slammer virus, fastest growing virus, just phenomenal speed on this thing because of the way it worked, because of the way it hit SQL server, that it propagated so incredibly fast. So it was like a speed test to see how fast viruses. And the blaster, of course, which is this master denial of service because of all the packets and stuff that it sends out. So all of these individual viruses or viri, and I never did quite understand what the plural of viruses, viruses, viri.
Back in the day, and I'll go into my old school homily here in a second, but back in the day, it was viri.
Viri. Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to go with viri anyway. Somebody can email and correct me. They usually do. These viri are nothing but a bunch of individual tests. These are just like the warning shots, so to speak. Or at least this is what a lot of trade publications, a lot of security companies and security people think. They think that all of the techniques that are used in these smaller viruses are going to be combined. And they're not saying a date or any specific virus in mind that they're watching. They just have this fear, like everybody has the fear of hackers. They have the fear of viruses, and sometimes rightfully so, but I won't, you know. They have this fear that they're all going to be combined together into this super, super virus that will have multiple payloads, very damaging, and use all these techniques to spread, to hit, to dial service, spread, hit again, move, disguise. You know, it's just going to be this phenomenal virus. The term that I see most frequently, they call them blended threats. Blended threats, that it's blending a little bit from all these different viruses into making one super virus. So, I mean, on one hand, I think to myself, this could be devastating. I mean, if this really did happen, could you, even just those three or four viruses that I mentioned earlier, if you just combined all of them into one virus, that'd be pretty damn devastating. That would be a pretty kick-ass virus, even though some of the parts of it are patched right now. Small modifications, as we saw with Blaster, you know, it had a couple modifications. It got up to like Blaster M, I think. Blaster.M, I think, was still making rounds. So, you know, modifications can keep those things going. One big Uber virus with all of those traits, plus new traits and vulnerabilities as they come out, that'd be a pretty badass mother.
You know, I say bring it on. Personally, I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Vira. one of the reasons I'm so glad to be on this app. But they've always just fascinated me.
Yeah, and me too. I mean, again, my only problem with viruses is more from intent of what people intend to do with them.
The act of
what the virus does and how it does it, I love the fact that they're taking advantage and basically automating vulnerabilities, you know. They're automating them as a proof, and they are proof of concepts, like they refer to them in some of these articles. It's a proof of concept of how fucked up your software is.
Most definitely.
So, you know, I really have nothing but respect for what they do and how they do it. It's the why, I guess, that's my issue. And even so, quite honestly, I'm kind of on the fence. On a personal note, I can't see doing it, and the risk does not outweigh the reward for me. I'm perfectly happy. I had the blaster virus, you know, before it hit. I was looking at it, dissecting the code, taking it apart, looking to see how it worked. And then a few days later, we got hit with it. You know, and as it's hitting, everybody's running around, and I talked about this on the show before, how funny it was. Everybody's running around, and I'm sitting back. I opened it up, and I'm sitting there reading the code again while they're running around trying to fix it. You know, that's funny, you know, but I find it very interesting. So that's really why we're having this show, because to talk about viruses in general and some specific viruses that are upcoming, there's an upcoming virus that's, from what I've seen so far, could be pretty rough. But the you know, so on one hand, like I said, one hand I think that it is, you know, that could be devastating, could be interesting, it could be, you know, a lot of things. But honestly, I mean, not to belittle hackers, and I'm not putting any individual hackers down, but as a group, do you really think that the hackers that write viruses, or the people, I don't know if I should even attach those two together, honestly, but the people that write viruses, are they just... Do you really think they're that organized to put together an Uber virus? Do you think that they actually have the intent to go out and make this super destruction death virus machine? Do they have the organization and the desire and the... Is that their wants and needs to do that? Or are they just writing them to exploit code as proof of concept to teach people a lesson about security and about the vulnerabilities and open people's eyes? You know, sometimes the best way to prove something to somebody is to just slap them in the face with it. You know?
Right.
You know, and are virus writers... I'll pose this to you. I'll pose it to the audience in general. Email me and let me know your thoughts on this, because I'm curious what the general consensus is. But I'll ask you, since you're on the line right now, are virus writers just misunderstood people with well intentions of notifying people of security holes, or are they malintended people trying to cause damage, trying to be destructive? Or actually, an option C, are they people that are just looking for a name, looking for fame?
I'm going to take all three. I think that they really want to show how serious a vulnerability can be. I mean, the blaster worm was written poorly. It was written improperly. It shouldn't have shut down your machine with that DCOM exploit. Now, I played with the DCOM exploit that the worm was based on, and, you know, if you bind your shells properly, you don't shut the machine down. So I think that rebooting, which is easy enough to, you know, hit start, hit run, type command, and when you're on your pseudo DOS prompt, type shutdown, space, switch A, and it'll,
there you go,
the computer won't shut down. But it's just, I think that they wanted it to be in your face, and they wanted to show exactly, you know, if a bazillion people can get the blaster worm, then don't you think the same bazillion people are getting owned by people using the DCOM exploit? And so I think their morals are pure there in trying to show, you know, trying to show an upfront example of dangers that are lurking. But yeah, I think they want a little credit for it, you know. But the problem is, a little credit for it's usually 10 to 20.
Yeah, right.
And that's not credit that I want.
Dude, I'm not like that. I ain't tossing somebody salad just to make a name for myself. It ain't happening, dude.
Yeah, I'm not going to Oz because I changed the shout line comments and some virus and re-released it.
Yeah.
It's not that kind of party.
Yeah, and, you know, I've said many times before, too, hacking in general is a dangerous game when it comes to legalities. You can't always be in the right, you know. As much as we try and claim to be white hat hackers, sometimes you put your foot over that line just because of the technicalities of it and the legalities being so vague and so undefined. So you take a risk just being in the hacking community and being a hacker.
Most definitely.
You know, that's why it's so underground. But you especially take a risk if you're a hacker, or again, I don't know if I should associate the words or not. I'm torn about that. Hacker, especially if you're a virus author, we'll say, you're a programmer who writes viruses, you really have to accept the risk. If that's your game and that's what you're into, you have to understand and realize the potential and what could happen to you. I mean, there have been plenty of viruses that were released in the wild accidentally. You know, college students who were doing a thesis on it and ended up, you know, getting it loose. You're messing with a dangerous thing there. I mean, let's use a metaphor of real viruses. If you're a scientist and you're working in a lab on some, I don't know, chemical weapon or cure for something, and you got all these chemicals, if you screw up and drop the test tube, there are consequences to that. Dire consequences. If you accidentally take your little bubble helmet off, there are consequences. You will pay for it. And the same thing goes true with virus writers. You have to accept and understand that if you are going to do that, and again, I'm not right or wrong, because I find it interesting, but just understand that if you are getting into that, you are putting yourself up at risk, a lot of risk. Because even this, you know, I don't remember the kid's name, that was it Blaster, whatever, all he did was go in and basically put his website address in the code and recompile it and send it back out. So he didn't do anything uber elite. All he did was took something that existed, put his name in it, twisted it, maybe for a little fame, maybe for some fun, maybe just because he was curious, whatever. And now, you know, they're trying to send him up the river, and, you know, it's a dangerous game. It's a dangerous game. I think that sums it up.
Yeah, you know, the next generation of Vira, I don't think they're going to be, you know, like all the uber big bang, you know, triple threat Vira. I think the next generation of Vira, it's almost like music. Let's go back and talk about music. You know, it's like the 80s. The Vira of today are like music in the 80s. High profile, big hair, women's makeup, lots and lots, you know, lots of press, lots of coverage, just their arena Vira, if you'll allow me the term.
I'm very interested. Go ahead.
Okay, I think the next generation of Vira, I think there will be a Nirvana in there. Scaled down, wearing baggy pants, and, you know, never wash your hair, that sort of thing. I think the next generation of Vira are going to go back to when I was playing with them. You know, they're going to be maybe not as well transmitted, but they'll be coded in pure assembler. They'll use a lot of zero-day shit. It's not going to be, you know, month-old vulnerabilities. And they're going to be memory resident. They may not go like the Melissa virus and just rape your email address list, and they may not be like Blaster, and they may not, you know, do a SQL error like Code Red, but I think they'll be more transmitted, more actively transmitted. I know some of the older Vira were just memory resident. They would infect all your EXE files, and then if you traded EXE files between computers, then when they ran an infected executable, then it would go through and it would become memory resident there and infect all of their executables. So instead of playing on people's somehow need to click and open thingies that come from people they have no idea who they are.
Yeah, but it said this cool screensaver you asked for, I had to click on it.
Yeah, those pics of Jennifer Love Hewitt. Yeah, so, you know, some people still download attachments. Some people still look at attachments, which is fucking moronic. But unsolicited, you know, unsolicited attachments, I should say. But anyway, I think it's going to go back because information is spread so much now. You email people everything, you know, there's peer-to-peer, there's a lots and lots of different ways to get files from people without needing a virus to go in and send itself or replicate itself to everybody in your address book. I think that if they scaled it down a little bit, wrote the thing in pure assembler, made it polymorphic, you know, it recoded bits of itself, you took out all the extraneous stuff, you didn't have a shout line in there, because that's pretty much the way all antivirus software works, that's how it all works. I downloaded one time, I used to have about 9,000 virus source codes. I used to collect them just because I thought it was cool. And I would compile them, and I would run my virus scanner against it. And it would pick it up, sure enough. And I'd go back in the code, and I would take out, you know, props to Zapperlink or something, you know, whatever the little shout comment was. Take it out, recompile it, scan it with the virus scanner, clean.
Yeah, that was definitely back in the day. They're definitely much smarter now. I got to give credit to the virus scanners of today. Now, they will even find source code.
Oh, really?
They will even detect that the source code itself is a virus. I also had several, especially what I found interesting was the polymorphism. I love the way polymorphism, I was very interested in the topic of it, and I had several viruses also that I would just look at to learn from. And it was very funny that one day, overnight, my virus scanner kicked in, and when I came in the next day, it had deleted thousands of viruses that were actual .c source code. It found the source code, and, well, it tried to. Of course, it quarantined them, and I rescued them, liberated them back to their free reign.
Freedom!
Free reign viri.
Nice. Those are the best tasting.
Yeah, oh yeah. And plus, they got more meat on the bone. But anyway. Actually, since, you know, let's go into the next news topic, which is, in my opinion, the first, I don't know if this is going to be a nirvana of viruses, but there is a very cool virus it's actually probably trickling out in certain places now. It's going to be, I don't know, it spreads through IRC, it's come down, it's coming out, through Kazaa, places like that. It's of course, it goes without saying that it's a Windows 32 virus written in C++, but it's called SWEN, S-W-E-N. And it's interesting. First of all, there's so many things interesting about it. So I'm gonna take a breath and go through slowly. First of all, it's gonna spread via the address books. Like everything else, or like a lot of the viruses done lately, it goes in, it finds your address book, and auto-sends itself to everybody else. Now, am I mistaken, or haven't they released like 20 patches that are supposedly fixed this vulnerability and having stuff auto-find your address book and resend it? Have they not secured that yet?
Every time, I can name probably 5 or 6 that their main means of replication is through all your address books.
And every time it comes out, there's a patch from Microsoft for Outlook to prevent it from happening again, but yet it happens again. And yet another patch comes out, and it happens again.
And every time they do that, they never once fix. You know, there's a lot of really, really bad things you can do to someone via email, and sending them a virus is probably one of the least of the numbers.
Yeah. You know, forwarding supposed private emails and potentially damaging, well, anyway.
All that ActiveX, I mean, everything. Man, yeah.
Well, and you know, it's funny you mention ActiveX because it's loosely related to how this one works. And first of all, there's so many things about this that I find incredibly interesting. The way this one works is it poses as an updater. It looks like not the same Windows update, but it looks like an update dialog box. Very professional looking, very real looking. A dialog comes up and says, there are updates available for your software. Would you like to upgrade now? Well, obviously, you shouldn't, like we said earlier, you shouldn't run something you don't know what it is ever, anyway. Well, this virus comes up and it asks you yes or no. No matter what you do, it's too late. You're fucksword. It's done. It's done. If you click no, it's not going to abort. It says that it aborts. It just silently installs behind you. If you say yes, it actually goes through an interface and a dialogue to convince the to make it look more realistic. It actually goes through a dialogue of scanning this, updating that, checking that. It's actually installing the virus.
That's funny as hell.
I know. I find that incredibly interesting just from the social engineering standpoint. They went the extra mile to add that dialogue to make it look like it's really an update. That takes people's... You know, people may wonder when they click on it, and then they see all this, oh, wow, it really is updating stuff, and they're convinced, you know. That's an extra step. That's really going the extra mile for that social engineering to make people believe it, you know.
I like that.
I like that as well. Now, the technical way this works, since you brought up ActiveX, Microsoft Outlook, and many other programs as well, but Microsoft Outlook in this case, when it renders email, back in the day, back in the old days, you had an email client. Its job was to send, receive, and display email. Internet Explorer, or actually back then, Netscape or Mosaic or whatever, was your web browser. It was a separate application whose simple job was to find and display HTML. 1.0 at the time, graphics weren't even a big, you know, it was cool just to have a line on the screen to separate paragraphs.
Hell yeah.
But it was separate programs. There was no, quote, integration. Integration has good things about it. It's ease of use, sometimes it's very convenient, in moderation. But in excess, you have so many things shaking hands with so many other things that you lose track of what's doing what has access and authority to what, and you have the more potential for vulnerabilities. And that's what this one is based on. Outlook does not have a built-in renderer for HTML. If you send HTML to a Microsoft Outlook client, Microsoft Outlook is integrated, embedded, whatever it takes, Internet Explorer libraries. And as a matter of fact, people can relate to this. Sometimes you'll download a piece of software and it says you must have Internet Explorer 6, you must have IE 5 or higher, you must have Java whatever or higher. These things are integrated. They're using Microsoft's IE libraries to do a lot of their rendering. They're using functions that exist in IE as the backbone and underbelly of their program. It just rides on top. Why rewrite a bunch of code when Microsoft Internet Explorer already has renderers built in that you can use? So that's what happens here. Of course, Microsoft eats their own dog food. They are using their HTML rendering from Internet Explorer to display your HTML in Outlook. You don't have to have Explorer open. It does the necessary function calls. Well, because of this, and because of what I mentioned earlier, because these things, when they integrate like that, it's just so impossible, especially when the software is as incredibly bloated as Microsoft products have become. There's so much code that they can't even lock down one piece of software, let alone when they start shaking hands with each other and sharing. Because of that, there was another vulnerability found with this renderer. Let's back up from Outlook. If you download something in Internet Explorer, and it's a TXT file, you go and you browse to a .txt, Internet Explorer will render that right in the browser window for you, right away. You can also look at JPEG, GIF files. They render right there in the browser as well. But if you download or navigate, I should say, to a PDF file, Internet Explorer does not display PDF files. It's not built in. You have to have Adobe Reader to read PDF, or some similar software, of course, to read PDF files, to render it. When you make contact with a file type, there is a MIME association that tells your computer how to render what you want to look at. When you see something, when you navigate to something that's .pdf, the PDF MIME extension is mapped to know, hey, it's PDF. That means I go and I execute a reader.exe or whatever a Acrobat reader is called, Acrobat.exe probably, and display what you're navigating to. It's associated with that, just like associations within Windows. Well, the vulnerability in this one is that executable files, if you download an executable file from the internet with most browsers, it pops up a warning message that says, warning, you are about to download an .exe file. Are you sure that you trust this file that you're downloading? to not be a virus, that it's safe, are you sure you want to execute it? And you make a decision of whether or not you want to do that. Based on, again, whether you trust it. Did you intend to download this? Do you want to install it? Have you checked it for viruses? Etc., etc., etc. Well, there's a vulnerability with a MIME association that will execute files without prompting the user. You can forge your header to say one thing when the content is actually something entirely different. In this case, an executable file. So you can send an HTML to someone with a self-executing .exe file, Swen, S-W-E-N. And when it tries to render that, it looks at the header, sees the MIME association should be executable, or shouldn't be executable, excuse me, even though it is, and when it tries to call that, because of this vulnerability, it actually executes the virus. Very, very dangerous.
Can I just say something?
By all means.
Fair and unbiased here.
I hope I was clear. It's very complicated. I hope I made that clear, but yeah, go ahead and say.
That's fucking rad.
Isn't that... I told you, I don't know if it's a nirvana, but this could be a potentially... It's going to be a... I predict this one's going to linger.
Yeah.
It's going to stick around for a while. It even gets better. I haven't even finished this virus yet. It even gets better.
Okay.
This virus... Well, first of all, let's put it in perspective. The virus, no matter what, is still limited by whatever permissions the user has. So if you have your permissions set properly, you're fine. Most people don't. And this is the absolute reason why you don't stay logged in as root all the time, because root has full permissions. You don't stay logged in as admin. Admin has full permissions to everything. You stay logged in with those. When this virus hits, it has access to everything that root has access to. So, first of all, it has only access to whatever the user has permission to, so the damage can be controlled through other means. If you have general good security policies in your company or wherever, you know, you have at least a little bit, you have some damage control. You're not going to stop it, but you have some damage control. But the cooler thing about this one also is that once it launches, this one is smart enough, at least right now in the beginning, that it will detect and disable the majority of known antivirus software programs out there. It will go in and it will stop or halt or pause the service that is running so that it's not detected. Now, the technical reasons of how it does that, I do not know. I have not seen the code for this yet. But that is very cool. So even if you have your virus checkers updated, it can hide itself from them until they either adapt. And depending on how this code is written, if it's polymorphic to, you know, kind of alter itself, that's why I say this could actually linger around for a long time, because if it changes itself and kind of keeps itself hidden and moves around a lot, it copies itself into temp directories, gives itself fake temporary names. It's very, very, it is a gathering of a lot of things that have been done in the past, not only in viruses, but in different Trojans and stuff as well. So it's incorporating a lot of technology into one central virus. So I'm not going to label it a super virus or an uber virus yet, but it's an interesting virus. That's what I'll label it.
Yeah, that's really cool. I can't hide it. That's fucking rad.
Isn't it? It's incredibly interesting. It's incredibly interesting, and it's incredibly sad that here in 2003, this kind of thing could potentially still happen. I mean, the focus on security is gone. It's absolutely gone. You know, and I touched on this earlier, but viruses come about because of over-engineering things. Like I said, there used to be one application, and you know all the functions in the application, you know everything that it can do. And this is not ancient history, even fairly recent history. Think of the early days of Visual Basic. When you downloaded a Visual Basic app that somebody wrote, sometimes you would have to go out and also have the vbrun100.dll or even vbrun.dll. That had a limited number of functions that it would do. There were only certain things. It was code that you could reuse, function calls, reusable code that could save you time. but it was limited to whatever was in that DLL. Well, as the years came on and Microsoft bloatware got bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm not picking on Microsoft, plenty of other software companies do this as well. Plenty. But Microsoft, with their integration ideas of integrating everything to the desktop and integrating everything into one feel and one browser and one window and one, you know, it over-engineers stuff to the point where it becomes possible to foresee every potential weakness and vulnerability that could exist. They're finding new ones every single day. It's sad. It's really sad. And you got to take a step back sometime. And this is one of the strengths of Linux, I must say. Yes, there are shared libraries. Yes, there are integration where you can use functions from other people or other programs and share them. That is what open source is about. But A, you can see them and verify them yourself that they're secure. And or B, you can write your own self-contained all-in-one. Write all of your functions, all of your programs, compile it, deliver it in one directory, and send it, and it's all self-contained. So if somebody else's code is weak, they don't take you down with it. It's not because you used someone else's screwed up code. It's all on you. And that's something that Windows has gone way far away from, and it's one of the biggest weaknesses of Windows and Windows security, and that's why we see it on the news all the time as the one who's getting in trouble and, you know, has the bad security reputation. They can palladium this all they want and talk about their rededication to security, but hey, show me the money.
Yeah, you're not going to see that money either.
Yeah, amen to that. Bill Gates seeing all that money.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, anyway, basically, I know it's kind of hard. Everybody wants to run Microsoft Office. Nobody wants to run Microsoft Works. Everybody wants Office, the big boy. Everybody wants to run the top-of-the-line software. No, you don't need the top-of-the-line. As a matter of fact, you don't need Microsoft, period. But if you choose to run Microsoft products, if you have to run Microsoft products for whatever reason, okay, let's be honest. You know, okay, you and I, this is not a prepared question on the spot. What do you use? Well, now to say, when you use Microsoft Word, if ever, do you really need and take advantage of all the features that it's quote-unquote features that it has?
No, I do not. I use like three of them.
Yeah. Majority of people will get this big bloated piece of software so that they can write a text file. Basically, I mean, am I kidding? I mean, that's the truth. How many people use all of that extra stuff? Okay, let's say I might use a spell checker. The grammar checker, I don't really have a choice. That's by default always on there, but I don't really need it. My grammar is pretty screwed up. I'm just going to stick with it and go with it. I'm 32 years old. If I don't have it now, screw it. I'm gone. I like to pretty the text up occasionally, some fonts, but that's not something that I need all that extra stuff for. So the moral of the story here is you don't need all that power. If you want to drive yourself to work every day and you live a mile away, you want to go buy a cheap car that gets you from A to B and back. You don't have to have a Porsche or a Ferrari or something like that. You don't need all that power, all that extra stuff, when something else will get the job done so much nicer. Open WordPad. WordPad will let you do RTF. Doesn't have a bunch of embedded stuff in it. I'm sure it's somewhat integrated, but it'll let you do RTF, so you can still bold, you can still do italics, you can have colored words that are colors, have just about everything that, when you do writing, that's pretty much all you want. And if even better, use Notepad. Or even better than that, use Edit Plus. Use something that doesn't even, you know, non-Microsoft product. Use something that's self-contained.
Use OpenOffice.
Yeah, exactly. Use the right tool for the job. You do not need all that power for everything you do. If you do, that's fine. I'm not putting it down. Microsoft Outlook, I think, has a lot of great features that I use that most people wouldn't. I only would recommend something like that to people that are going to use a lot of the collaboration tools that I have to use at work. You know, at home, I do not use it. I absolutely do not, because I don't need all of it. And it's incredibly vulnerable. So, all these reasons. And if you're using, you know, if you don't have Microsoft Outlook installed, you're using WordPad or, again, some open source alternative, some free alternative, Linux, not even on Microsoft, something like that, then you wouldn't be vulnerable to forging a header to use a different HTML, to render your HTML differently to cause a file to execute. You wouldn't even be in that position because you don't have all that stuff active in memory and calling upon each other. It's plain and simple. The right tool for the job. And I'm going to do this for Rax. Rax all the time used to say this. Every week, all the time, install and update regularly your virus checking software. That's not difficult. Always, regularly, check and update it. Swen is out. I don't know how big a release, how fast it's going to spread. See, that's another thing. It might not spread very fast. I didn't see anything in there that's going to cause it to spread uber fast. At least faster than any other. But some of the virus scanners are already trying to start detecting for it. So, always stay ahead. Update your virus scanning software. And, you know, the battle is halfway gone right there. Wow, that was a lot of talk about viruses. Actually, I think I'm starting to come down with something. I'm feeling a little sick now. I think I might have a virus.
You got the clap.
Oh, well, yeah, that's not really a virus. That's more like a disease, but hey. Yeah, maybe that's what the next generation of viruses, they'll be called diseases. They're not true viruses. They're going to linger.
Yeah, you look at internet porn and, well, anyway.
Yeah, have the long-term drip. Well, you know, there is one other topic I want to talk about before we move on, and I don't think I'm going to be able to control myself from getting pissed off. You might have to rein me back in, but I mean, I need somebody to explain to me this. What in the fuck was VeriSign thinking this past month? What in the hell went through their mind to make... You know, I have hated these bastards for years. These people have a monopoly because they were around in the beginning of the internet or the early growth of the internet, and by sheer luck, being the first registrar or one of the first registrars and supported by the government because, hey, let somebody else do the work and, you know, saves us the trouble of having to do it, they became a monopoly. They are the .com, .net registrar. They're it. You can register through others. They broke that up finally. They broke the monopoly up somewhat. You can register from other places. But they are the final official central word of .com and .net. And they... The fact that they have that monopoly pisses me off. But basically, any what they have done now is just crossed the line into abusing their power. And it's so sickening... I'm trying so hard not to scream into the microphone.
Do it. Some things are worth it.
Look, when you have a .com or .net address, VeriSign knows about it. They are the what they call the global registrar. Sure, you have GoDaddy. You have 000.domains.com. You have all these smaller registrars. Tons of them. Plenty of them. They all report to Big Daddy. They all report to the big dog, VeriSign. VeriSign is the global registrar of .com and .net, so they know what exists everywhere. It may take 24 hours, 48 hours to update, but eventually BlandInquisitor.com got there. Everything goes through them. So when you go to try to visit a site, it's going to look up through the localist closest DNS server to find out where BlandInquisitor.com is. If it doesn't find it, it goes further and keeps looking, and the final say-so is VeriSign. Not Verizon, VeriSign. And VeriSign decided in their infinite wisdom that it would be smart if they decided that, you know, whenever you try to go to a site and it says not found, this site does not exist, and you get that stupid little page that says, do you want to try again? They decided that it would be really smart and very financially beneficial, the bottom line, if they were to intercept every false call to a site. That's my timer. We are running low on time, but I am going to get this out, damn it. They decided that it would be smart for them to route every incomplete hit. Everything's going to go eventually to them. So if we went to BlandInquisitor.com a couple weeks ago, you would get an error page. Well, when VeriSign made this change and you went to BlandInquisitor.com, and if it was not legitimate at the time, try Fahugwagods.com, I don't know. You go to a site that doesn't exist now after VeriSign's little trick, you get a page, VeriSign intercepts it, and they send you to a .com page that they own, that they sell advertising on, and they search and try to reroute you to the correct page, and I'm sure they get kickbacks for it. All because they can. Period. We can do it. What the fuck are you going to do about it? They're spitting in everybody's face. You know what? Fuck you. Stop us from doing it. That's what they're saying. And now, why is this a big deal? Why is this a big deal? Because when you go to a site and you get an error message, that's fine for you visually. But do you know how much shit out there is automated and dependent on standard error messages and standard naming conventions and how things are supposed to work? Spam is the biggest victim right now. Spam mail comes from forged email addresses. They don't have a good resolved host. They come from hotsusieq@fahugwagods.com or at 612131742682.com. They come from these fake addresses. And that's how the majority of spam filtering works. They try to resolve it. If they try to resolve b47822bingo.com, they're going to get an error message. And if they get an error message or a false return code, they say, you know what? I'm going to kick your ass out because you're a piece of spam. And it filters it out. And now you don't get an error message anymore. Now you get sent to VeriSign's site saying, we're sorry, but you have come to VeriSign.com. Perhaps you were looking for this. Oh, while you wait, here's a piece of ad we're going to shove down your throat. And when you click through a link to something else, you're going to make more money for us. What are you going to do about it, bitch? Well, since you don't get the return code from the false site, the spam says, oh, well, I looked to see if it was a fake site, but yeah, apparently it exists. So yeah, I'm going to go ahead and send this on through. And all of a sudden, has anybody noticed, any listeners noticed, you've got a lot more spam here in the last couple weeks? I sure as shit have. Now, I have some spam filtering on my client, which helps, which works a different day. The Bayesian filters still will work somewhat. But you cannot confirm and delete the majority of spam, which is coming from false domains. And you know what? Microsoft has been doing this for years in a certain way. They're doing it on the client end. If you go to a site using Internet Explorer, Bland, I'm sure you've done this before. You go in Internet Explorer, you type in your site, and you'll see, you may not notice it. You go look for it now that I'm bringing it up, but you type in something and it says search for.
Yeah.
If you don't put in the HTTP colon in front of it sometimes,
right,
it will say search for. Now, it'll automatically take you to the site super fast. It'll be invisible because you don't pay attention. But if you look, it says search for binrev.com. It actually hits Microsoft's site. When it says, when you see search for, it is actually going to search.msn.com. It finds binrev.com and sends you there immediately because it knows where you wanted to go. However, you took an extra stop along the way that a lot of people didn't know about. So they know. Anytime you do that, hell, they don't need a spider. They don't need to write an agent string or a robot to go out there and build their database or their search engine. They sit there and spy on everything you do and build it from what you put in. And God forbid you have anything you don't want them to see. I mean, the privacy of that is just pathetic. But, and as bad as that is, at least that was only on the client. If you use Mozilla or something else, you know, you might not be so vulnerable. Actually, Netscape did it. Netscape did the same thing, so it's not only Microsoft. Again, I'm not picking on them, but if you use a different, you can change the settings also in there, but by default it does that. But at least that's on the client. What VeriSign has done is made this universal. No matter what browser you use, it tries to resolve, and it's going to go to VeriSign's page and tell you, guess what? That site doesn't exist, but we at VeriSign do. Everything, so much is dependent on that. Not just spam. It's not just spam. You have to have standards in place that you can count on and depend on to write code around. When you develop on the internet, a worldwide network, you have to have standards. Here's a good example. Nick84 writes a lot of Perl scripts, and based on results he gets from servers and keywords, he will take whatever the return is and validate it. Anybody who writes a Perl script or CGI script or anything like that, you got a CGI script that looks to see if the page is valid, you're fucked. You got a CGI bin thing that looks for it, you're fucked. Perl script, you're fucked. You got a program that looks for error resolution, you're fucked. Everybody gets fucked by VeriSign doing this. And you know what they do? They flip us all the middle finger and they say, thank you, have a nice day. And there's not a damn thing anybody can do about it. Sickens me. I think I'm actually a couple months overdue. I'm going to give VeriSign 2 Fuck Nut of the Month award. They get the Fuck Nut of the Month award for the past 2 months. Congratulations. That is the first time I'm giving 2 Fuck Nut of the Month award to those bastards for that. I've given out a lifetime to the RIA. They've earned a lifetime Fuck Nut of the Month award, but this is a double. I'm giving them 2 Fuck Nuts of the Month award for that. That's just so much bullshit. Ugh. Alright, I'm sweating. I didn't let you... You know what? What are your views on the topic? Because I didn't let you get a word in edgewise. I get on these rants. I mean, am I way off here? Am I overreacting? What's the deal?
Oh, man. No, for lack of a better term...
They're fucknuts!
Yeah, they're fucknuts, man. It's a complete disregard for anyone's personal convenience, anyone's personal... You know, some people get paid, being log dogs like that, like Nick does. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, some people... a lot of people can send their children to school so they can grow up and have big, strong children of their own because they sat there and they're pimping their spam filter software. And VeriSign, hell, if I was into that sort of thing, it would be, fairly plausible to say that they might be getting some money from the spam people because they just went in there and ass-raped.
Ooh.
Everyone's spam filters.
That is a very nice conspiracy theory. The spammers are giving the money under the table to do this, to foil the spam filter software. Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Thank you. I cooked that one up just for you.
That was I like that a lot.
But why the fuck not? They're getting money from everybody else.
Well, true.
Here comes stankism. They are fucking you in both holes. On this one.
And they don't even lube you.
No.
Dude, there's not even any lube. I mean, this is just dry rape.
No, there's no guacamole. There's no nothing.
No, I mean, come on, at least...
I mean, first of all, they're making you... They're, like, raping you into going to their site. Okay? They are drawing you into their site. Let's say I type Bland Inquisitor a lot. BLAND_INQISITOR. So I go try to visit my own webpage. _.
Mm-hmm.
Put a dash, whatever. Just, fuck up the URL on my own page. And here I am, getting sold, Swiffer, or trying to get someone to go, search for Bland Inquisitor at Amazon.com, and someone's getting paid for that. No one should get paid for that. It's a slip. You know what I mean? It's common human error, and no one should be making money off me fucking up a URL.
Well, they're doing it. Or at least they're trying. People are fighting. This is a big deal. People are fighting about this. So they're claiming they're going to keep doing it. They've stopped doing it for a little while, start doing it. It's going to be off and on until somebody makes them. But there was such a big uproar about it, especially through the spam filtering community, because that is the biggest thing affected.
And
what? Hopefully the right thing will happen out of this. I'm going to, as mad as I am about it, I'm going to have faith that this will work itself out.
Well, who's going to stop them? I mean, it's not illegal to be a fucking asshole.
No, it's not. But it is illegal to have a monopoly. Yet, out of pure government laziness, they allowed this to become a monopoly. They're too busy suing everybody else and watching everybody else in the world that they sit there and let something like this happen.
Well, the railroad system's a government-sanctioned monopoly.
Well, you know, if you ask me, the power is a government monopoly, water company, monopoly, phone companies, they tried to break that up, but they're nothing but big monopolies. They buy each other right back up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everything, the government-controlled monopolies, all utilities, and this is debated all the time, is the Internet a utility? But we're out of time for this episode. That's going to have to wait for another time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know. That could be a lot. So, oh, man. Well, you have anything to close with? You know, we got to give our shout-outs.
Let me give some props.
All right.
Give some props to Fiends, props to Hack and Slash, Duel, of course, Zapper Link, Slip, everyone, AZ2600, now DC602, I guess. Props to Rax, everybody at IRC.esper.net, channels Ben Rev and RFA.
And DDP Code.
Yeah, DDP Code. Massive props to Voodoo Howl. Props to Logan 5 for being the fucking man.
Yep.
And I think that about gets it.
Yeah, and you know, I definitely got to give shout outs to Zerl. Again, we're working on some new announcements soon, and I'm going to be closing with his track tonight. It's called Watch Me, and I'm going to give a dumb shout out. You guys can laugh at this. I know Duel will make fun of me, but I got to give a shout out to my Chicago Cubs, baby, World Series bound. They are in the playoffs. They might get their asses handed to them since they haven't won a World Series since 1908, but go Cubs!
Go Cubbies!
All right. And you want to call and tell me your thoughts on the whole virus idea, what I said, if you agree, disagree, yada, yada, yada. Everybody knows. I'm more than willing to listen to your comments, read them on the air if you'd like. Letters@benrev.com. And stick around, man. This song I'm going to close out with, man, got me bouncing. Got me bouncing. That boy can flow, I'm telling you. But for now, I guess we will see you all next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Peace.
Watch me start a revolution off. Watch me break out your phones, smoke it up and cough. Watch me rush the cops with a bandana and a Molotov. Watch me. It's time to tear the system down. Already whining, cause you wanna keep your crown. Change is coming near, no more fear. Take back these countries, these cities, and these towns. Demand equality for women, and end the class of racism. Justice, are you really down to make some change? To rearrange, it's not so strange. This shit is in our range. Trade me some death for some happiness. Rob the best and give it to the deranged. Pain exchanges, you got us working for some bullshit wages. I'm not paying no more rent for these cages. This is the moment in which revolution engages. It's time to set it off, it's time for war to wage. It's time to start a new age. Watch me, start a revolution off. Watch me, lay down your bums, smoke it up and cough. Watch me, rush the cops with a bandana and a Molotov. Watch me. Your concessions are just a joke. We learned a lesson when you try to get us with your coke. As rights dag burn, we learn. Soon your Patriot Act will provoke. Where there's fire, there's smoke. Where there's a happy rich person, somebody poor getting choked. Where there's assassination and covert ops, you gon' find the CIA running dope. How can there be hope? No end, it begins in the road. Comrade, I see a fork. It's time to turn this wheel of time. We just need some more torque. Can we fight ourselves in this endless sea as we bomb so aimlessly like the cork? If it had been brought by the stork, would you even listen to the truth? I'm not so sure.
Watch me. Watch me start a revolution off. Watch me lay down your bum, smoke it up and cough. Watch me.
what we seek. Collusion with the righteous ones. It's an illusion that we won't need a gun. We'll use anything we can find to fight this. We're on a mission to right this, on a path of righteousness. You're not underground unless you're free. You'll never be down till you get political, see? Words trapped in time. Every syllable written to oppose capitalism and its lying. Meritocracy is a joke to me. No equality for women, people of color, and the children of poverty.
Watch me, watch me. Watch me.
Start a revolution, all.
Watch me.
Break out your bum. Smoke it up in your car.
Watch me.
Rush the cops with a bandana and a Molotov.
Watch me, watch me.
Watch me bring a corrupt system to its knees. Watch me make the capitalists beg and plead. Watch me fuck this whole system up. Are you gonna be down with me or what?